Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? Yeah, not great for our already struggling environment. That's why I'm so excited to talk about our partner today, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. And the concept is pretty simple. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. I literally just tried out the laundry tablet, and instead of having to bring my huge container like I normally do down the hall, I just brought the one tablet and my clothes came out so clean, just as clean as normal. I'm fully on board. It just makes my life easier and I'm helping the environment. And the best part, Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/dateable for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off.
The Dateable Podcast is an insider's look into modern dating that the Huffington Post calls one of the top 10 podcasts about love and sex. On each episode, we'll talk to real daters about everything from sex parties to sex droughts, date fails to diaper fetishes, and first moves to first loves. I'm your host, Yue Xu, former dating coach turned dating sociologist. You'll also hear from my co-host and producer, Julie Krafchik, as we explore this crazy dateable world. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Dateable, a show all about modern dating. It's been a trying week for many, lots of emotions and lots of unraveling. I think that's the word that I keep using, is just unraveling the system that we live in, unraveling the world that you thought was and is now, and unraveling yourself and what you've thought about in the past. And even though we're a dating podcast, I still feel like what we're going through right now in the world is so relevant to how we date as well. I mean, this is like the bigger picture of how we view people and how our own unconscious biases can affect our dating decisions too.
Yep.
So I hope everyone's taking action in some way or another. You don't have to be as vocal as some or as active as others, but what are you doing for yourself that you're taking action in some way? And Julie, I know you just came back from a protest.
Yeah, I did. I went to one. I think it was actually really nice. It was really, I think the positive that's come out of this week is just seeing all the people like band together. That's been really positive and just show support, and it doesn't need to be like one way or another. There's so many ways to show support. Like I've seen people saying that they're reading books or watching documentaries or learning the history more. And then others are going out to the protests, which honestly, like I think it all depends on your comfort level. Like I think especially with COVID-19, it's definitely not going to fault anyone for not going. But also like the one I went to, everyone was in masks. It was relatively people far away. So I think you can find ones too that match your comfort level. Like, I don't know if you saw this video, UA, but it's like this video of the Mission District in San Francisco. There was like 10,000 people out. And like a high school senior started this protest, and it was just so moving, like the video of all the people on the street, and just even today, just seeing people like kind of with signs and chanting. And I think it's really just given everyone a light into their blind spots and like really just made us more aware and just more actionable.
What were you guys chanting today?
So, I mean, there were definitely many chants of like just Black Lives Matter, obviously the names of everyone that's been affected by this. There were chants about just like undoing the silence. Like there were many different ones. It's hard to kind of list them all out, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, I think like also like I was with some friends and they're like, I realized I'm not really like someone that likes to chant. And I think that's okay too. It's like you're showing up in whatever way you can. And that's really what matters right now. And also, I think one of the things that some of the members of our Facebook group and other people have said too, it's like, this isn't going to just end tomorrow, right? Like, so like, this is just a continued fight and just like continued involvement by all. And it's recognizing just like what is going on in all parts of lives. Like we talked about last week, like we re-released an episode about racism and dating, because this doesn't just show up in the police, like it shows up everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for the invite to the protest today. And I thought about it. I personally, I'm just not ready to be around people at this point. Yeah. And it's just not a place where I feel like I can channel my energy. But I'm super curious what protests are like. I've never been part of one. I mean, that's great to hear from firsthand perspective of what you experienced today.
Yeah, and I think that's okay. Like, I know you've taken part in many other ways, like with charities and all that stuff. And yeah, like we've been saying, there's not really one right way to go about this. Kind of like there's no one right way to do anything in life. But I think as long as you're using this time to be working on yourself and seeing what comes up for you and how do you turn that into change, that's really the most important, no matter how you do it.
And I think one of the ways we can do that on this podcast is that this isn't a 1 week, 2 week, 1 month thing, that I think we continue to ask ourselves, what are the limiting beliefs and the biases that we are putting onto this situation, especially when we talk about these dating stories. I think you and I can definitely question ourselves more. I mean, we already asked the why, but like this time from now on, we got to ask the why, but then and why, and then yes. And why, and just keep asking the why and really, again, using this word unravel all the time. And thank you to all of our listeners for your responses to our episode last week. It was a very tricky episode that I have to commend Julie for editing together and packaging together, because we're just like, what is right to say? What is wrong? What should be our stance? And what do we need to put out there in the world? And I really think the episode last week was just a sample of some of the conversations we've had on our show, and we'll continue to grow these conversations. So thank you to everyone who responded and gave us feedback on the episode. And if you haven't listened to it, go back and listen. It's a compilation of dating stories related to racism and dating.
Yeah, and specifically around Black experiences. So we definitely have other races and other ethnicities that we've represented. And hopefully doesn't get to a point that we need to showcase those, but we highly recommend that you go back and listen to all of them, right? But I think we really wanted to focus on some of the struggles that our Black listeners and guests that have come on the show have expressed before, because I think sometimes these race ones are easy to skip over. And we don't blame anyone for doing that. A lot of times you say, oh, this doesn't pertain to me. And it's not just race. It's like we've had episodes of like people coming out or whatever it may be. It's like it's sometimes not relevant to whatever you're going through at the time. But I do think there is like immense value in these types of episodes because it really gives us that empathy that we can start to have for other mm-hmm. people. And until you hear other people's stories, like it just doesn't become fully real. And I think it's so important. So I'm glad that we got an opportunity. And also, not just for anyone that missed it, we have had a lot of new listeners. So anyone that, mm-hmm. I mean, we have like hundreds of episodes, so totally get that you might have missed these two in the past. So I'm glad that we got an opportunity to hear these voices again and re-release it.
Re-listening to those two episodes, I have to say, I'm still in shock by what Chris said with the race totem pole.
Yeah.
That his friend told him that, to recap, basically like Asians are at the bottom and then it's Black men and then it goes up from there and white men are at the very top. This is what someone told our guest. I mean, that's just so shocking to me. And I cannot believe that in 2020, people are still saying shit like that.
I know. It just shows that we still have a long, long way to go. But yeah. I think the silver lining of this is it's like kind of hitting at a perfect storm with coronavirus. And it's like it has everyone's attention. People are already like worked up, you know, and like have mm-hmm. this like anger that they want to get out. And I feel like this time, like, may actually make a difference. Like people are really responding to this, and it wasn't just like a news story that went away after mm-hmm. a couple of days. And I hope it continues. And like we've said, it's not going to be like a countdown every week and we talk about it. We hope this can just be a continued conversation in all that we do with Dateable and outside of Dateable in everyday life.
It's interesting you bring that up, because from a sociological point of view, I was talking to a friend of mine about this, and he said, you know, why now? Like, he kept asking why now? And it's really because of coronavirus. There are no sports to distract us. There's no movies for us to go to. And that's why this news really got the attention that it deserved, and it's about time. But that's like, it's a perfect storm in some ways of change needing to happen during this time.
Yeah, I read this quote. I think it was one of our past guests, Brogas Stewart. I saw it on his account.
Yeah.
And I think it was just such a great quote. It was basically like, what if 2020 wasn't canceled? What if this was like the year that we all needed? All of this in 1 year, it's like we will never forget this year in history. Like, how many other years can we say that for? And I think, again, like, I don't want to diminish anything that's happened to anyone at all, but I think for everyone that's in a fortunate position that they're not sick or they're not hurt, like, let's try to rewire our brains to think about this as kind of a blessing that we're able to make this change right now.
Ooh, rewiring our brains. That is a great way to talk about our episode for this week. And I know you, when you saw the title of this episode, you're probably like, huh, sex toys and what? Racial inequality. But I think it really helps to listen to other struggles as well. And just to learn how others have overcome what has been systematically been the way it's done before. So I think sex toys is actually a really great example where for decades, sex toys were made for one type of body, one type of woman, and it was made by men. And all of a sudden, Laura DiCarlo, our guest on our show today, comes in and says, no, I need to make a sex robot, I'm not even calling it a toy, that will fit different body types, different needs, because every woman is so different. And stop oppressing us with the sex toys that you've made for this one body type. So our guest today is here to talk about the sex, I mean, well, for familiarity's sake, of sex toys that she's invented, but it's really about this fight for women's pleasure and how do we own our own pleasure and get it back from the people who first invented it, which was not a woman.
Yeah, I mean, we go through it in the episode, but we go through the whole history of vibrators. And I don't know about you, UA, I've never done that research outside of this episode. And it was fascinating. Just I'm not going to give too many spoilers because I want everyone to listen, but just why vibrators were made in the first place, unreal. But also, I think this is also coming at a perfect time with coronavirus, right? Because, okay, we've been in quarantine for a bit. We're easing out now into the real world, but we're still not there. And I think even having sex with new people, it's going to be a struggle, right? Because it's like, I don't know, you know, like there's germs and all that. So I think one of the things that's really come up over quarantine, though, is pleasuring yourself with sex toys, right? It's like, owning your pleasure just because we're in quarantine doesn't mean that we can't be having orgasms and experiencing great things in life. And we talked about it on the virtual sex episode where we found other creative ways to really like still get it on and like have that sexual pleasure. And a lot of that really comes down to sex toys because that's how you can, like one way that you can work with what you got and potentially just by yourself.
To relate it back to what's going on in the world right now is that for like a lot of us just seem to accept what's given to us. I mean, that's how I'm conditioned to be. So with sex toys and vibrators, I just assume all the choices out there are made for me. If I don't get pleasure from those toys, then there must be something wrong with me.
Magic wand.
And that's the magic wand that Julie introduced. You'll hear all about this story. But what has worked for others hasn't worked for me. And it made me feel ashamed. It made me feel inadequate. And it made me feel like I could not discover and find my own pleasure when in fact I just should have kept asking why were these sex toys invented the way they were and why was I not getting the pleasure I was seeking? And this is exactly the world we should be living in this time, is that we just got to keep asking why and read about the history, learn and educate ourselves, and then we can actually like see this future that is that's a future that we all want to live in and not what we currently are experiencing, which is all this craziness. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Back to sex, the sex industry. Sex tech is the industry we're talking about. We do want to make some predictions, and you'll hear the whole episode, and I want to see if you agree with us. But my prediction for the future of sex toys is that it'll no longer be this thing that you're ashamed of that you put in your drawer along with like your mm-hmm. I don't know, love letters from your sixth grade boyfriend. I don't know what people put in their drawers along with your condoms, right? It's like everyone has that like naughty drawer. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I call it a naughty drawer. That sex toys will now be part of your decor. You can put it out there and not be ashamed of it. And you can ask, you know, you go to someone's house and you can ask people about their sex toys openly. That is the future of sex industry or sex tech.
Before I give my predictions, I just remember I was at one of our mutual friends' house and I went into her living room and I was like, is that a vibrator just like standing up in your living room? And she's like, it's a cat toy. And I was like, that looks like a vibrator. But I agree. Why? If she wanted to put a vibrator on, who cares?
That's true.
You know, there's still such a stigma with vibrators and self-pleasure. Mm-hmm. And even like on the virtual sex episode, like I feel like I overshared a lot of my love for virtual sex.
No, you did not overshare.
My brother, who might have had to turn that episode off a little early, might disagree.
Okay, a little TMI for your brother, but millions of other people are not your brother, so
true.
It's good.
But I was like, why am I ashamed of it, though? I'm like, I know he has sex, right? Like, he's married. Like, it's not like, why is it so shameful to like have sex by yourself with a toy? Mm. Like, why is that such a shameful thing? And my prediction is that it is going to become less shameful also. But I think part of the reason why it's shameful is just like the structure of them. I mean, if you look at the magic wand, it is loud
it's
as
huge.
Fuck. You have to plug it into the wall. Like, it honestly, if I lived with a roommate, I would be super embarrassed to use it. It's so loud, right? Like I couldn't. So I think it's like, I think the future is the design of sex toys is going to be a lot more realistic, I think. And I think it's not just going to be like, here's a box, go figure it out, where it's been before. And like, I don't know about you, UA, but like when I got my first vibrator, one, it was like so shameful to like go into good vibrations. I was like putting my hand over my head, like so no one on the street would see me. And then you get in, I'm like, I just want to get out of here because I don't know what to do and I feel uncomfortable. There's a zillion different sex toys. Like, I feel like it's going to become a world where one, that you can just walk in and it's almost like an experience and it's like something that you want to do. And there's people that can kind of like guide you through what the right ones are for your body. And you can really start to understand, because also that's the other thing. It's like sex toys are super expensive. Like they're hundreds of dollars. And I know I've been like tempted to get one. I'm like, what if this does nothing for me? Because I've gotten ones before that don't do anything. So I think we're going to be in a world where, you know, it's helping you get through it. It's not just like order it on Amazon and then hope no one ever sees the box and then you get it and you're on your own.
Oh, that's interesting. Because if you go to Target and you're trying to find condoms, it's like in the pharmacy aisle. Maybe eventually there's going to be a pleasure aisle. And so it's the condoms, it's the lube, it's the sex toys, it's books. Educational material. I think that is a really great point. If we have guidance at Target on products for oily skin, then there should be guidance on products for personal pleasure.
Yeah. I mean, we've had like even like one of our past sponsors, it was like a wine club. It's like you taste different wine. Not to say that everyone should just be like playing with each other's vibrators, but maybe there's like a way that like you can like somehow know, like, for example, for me, I love the magic wand. But I want something that might be a little smaller. I want something that might not have to plug in. Like, how can I find other recommendations? Or like, what is it about the sensation of that I could get somewhere else? Like, I think like having that follow-up recommendations on different products and like have it more customized to you, I think that would just make it a lot easier. Mm. And I think we're going to also enter into this world where it's not like, we talked about this a bit with Dr. Alexandra Solomon on season 10, episode 1, Taking Sexy back
yes.
on our season opener. And I think what she really brought something up to my attention, it's like historically we've all thought like, oh, I use sex toys when I'm single, when I don't have any prospects. But it doesn't need to be just for that. Like, I think that's where it's going to go, is it's an education on your body. And that doesn't matter if you have a partner or not. And if you have a partner, it's going to start to be seen as not like, oh, I'm not satisfying you because you're using a sex toy. It's right. just going to be like, it's an extension. It's another option for you. Or maybe it's going to just become more of the norm that you even use them together.
Yeah. And as you hear from Laura DiCarlo in this episode, what she's invented is something that it cannot be done by one human being. So it's definitely a toy that it's not like it's to simulate your partner. It's to supplement and sometimes replace. Depends.
So before we get into the episode, we have a couple of announcements. You got to run down the announcements and then we'll get to the good stuff. But I think the first one that we have is thank you for everyone that has left those ratings and reviews. Like, we've seen a huge lift in the last couple weeks. And you guys don't understand how much this helps us. So if you haven't done it yet, really, really would really be great if you can leave a rating. It literally takes 2 seconds to just hopefully hit 5 stars, but hit whatever you feel is accurate. And if you're so inclined to leave that review, it also just, you know, like, we've seen some really wonderful reviews and I get like a little teary-eyed when I read them. So it makes me really happy to see how you guys are feeling. And if there's things that you want more of, like, it's a good time to give feedback to. And also going to make a little extra plug. I know in the UK, no one really uses Apple products. So our reviews are very low there. So if you are a UK listener and you do have access to either iTunes or Apple, like Apple Podcasts, it would mean the world if you could go in and make that rating a review. Because honestly, your one will make a huge difference.
For sure. And the last ask is join our Facebook group, our secret Facebook group, Love in the Time of Corona by the Dateable Podcast. Exactly like that. We've been having some really insightful and interesting conversations. And then we get silly too. It's not just about deep conversations. But what I love about this group is that everyone's there with, are speaking from the heart. We treat each other with kindness and respect. And I feel like we've been really helping each other get through some tough times. It's like a virtual support group of sorts. So definitely check us out. You're hearing it here. It's a secret group. It's a private group. So go search for it. Love in the Time Corona by the Dateable Podcast.
And we're going to start up the happy hours again. People loved the happy hours. It was a great way to just connect with other listeners. And like, honestly, we have such a diverse group. Like, I think that's been something that's been so wonderful, like diverse in ethnicity, diverse in race, diverse in age, diverse in life experience. Like, you run the gamut, but everyone is so kind and respectful. So if you're looking for ways to like have immediate action, it's about your community, right? And no better way than to be with other people that are kind of really trying to empower themselves when it comes to creating the relationships they want in life.
So before we get to Laura DiCarlo, I just want to thank our sponsor, Generation Tux, for making this episode happen. While during this time, many plans are being postponed, especially the big day for some, we still want to pass along this great offer from Generation Tux for when plans resume again. For all you men out there planning your special day, Generation Tux takes away the headache of finding you the perfect tux. You simply create your look online, including your groom's party, and everything arrives within 14 days of your big day at your doorstep. You can also get free swatches delivered straight to your door. And after the big event, you just put everything back in the box and use a prepaid label to drop off at UPS. Bada boom, bada bang, you're done. So keep note of this: free shipping, free swatches, free home try-on. Now you can save money and time with Generation Tux. Check out generationtux.com/dateable and use the promo code dateable for 10% off your entire groom's party. Again, that's generationtux.com/dateable and check out with the code DATEABLE. Now let's get to Laura. Guest we have on today's show is someone that I met in person at CES in January of this year. And as soon as I met her, I texted Julie and said, we got to get her on our show.
She's like, I'm booking it now. That's yeah. cool. I'm like, sounds yeah. great. Let's do it.
My people are going to call her people right now. Her name is Laura Handick. She is the face, the CEO, the founder of Laura DiCarlo, a sexual health and wellness tech company, I would classify. Yeah. And sex education beyond all that. She currently lives in Bend, Oregon. She's been there for almost 8 years, but she's from everywhere in California, been all around. She's 34 years old and she currently has a partner. Now, the biggest news is before I let her speak and we see her on video right now, she's like, yes, 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 this is right. Something really interesting, because I go to CES every year. It's been like 6 years for me. And last year, what happened was Laura's company had a sex product that was won an innovation award, CES Innovation Award. And a month later, they rescinded the award and took it away, saying that the product was profane. It was offensive. Damn. And basically shed light on how the tech industry was viewing gender biases and also just female sexual health. When for years, since I remember the first year I went to CES, they had a sex robot and that could give you blowjobs. And that's what they had on the show floor. And what was more infuriating about this entire situation, and I told you about this, Julie, was that not only was the award taken away from her, they were not allowed to show on the show floor either.
So why did they take it away?
Because they said it was profane. It was...
That's more profane than giving blowjobs by robots?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And that's why Laura raised hell. She was like, hell no. This is not how it works. And she got the award back. Yes. And the CTA apologized, was so great about this entire situation, was that not only did it bring so much publicity for your company, Laura, but also it shed light on what was happening behind the scenes and how the CTA really operated. And they apologized, which is fantastic, but they also gave her the award back. And this year at CES, I told Julie, there was an entire sexual wellness category that was created.
That never existed
before. Because last year, your award was given in the robotics and drones category.
Yeah. Yes.
And she had many questions about how this product was even a drone.
Okay, definitely need a sexual wellness category if you're a drone.
No kidding. But you paved the way, because this year the sexual wellness show floor was huge and there were so many sex products and there was so much interest, not just from press, but from the attendees there. It's been an historical event, basically, and changing the entire tech industry. But before we get into your company, Laura DiCarlo, you always say this in your interviews, you build your company off of this incredible orgasm you had.
Ooh, I want to hear about this.
And since we are a dating podcast, and in all of your other interviews, you kind of skip over the details, but this is
we're like, girl,
there's no TMI here. How did this orgasm come about? What was it like? How were you able to achieve it?
So a little bit of background information. I was dating a lot. I was single and I was dating this one particular person who really knew what they were doing and was also very sadly, like very much a broken, I have no idea what the fuck I'm going to do with my relationships in my life kind of person. Mm-hmm. It was just at that certain point in their life, I guess.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, damn, they're good in bed. There was one point where I remember just going, holy crap, what's happening? Holy crap, holy crap, holy crap. Oh my God. And literally, and what in hindsight, I did the research and it actually, having an orgasm is actually very much akin or close to physiologically to having a seizure.
Wow.
There are a lot of symptoms that are very similar.
Interesting.
And so I remember literally just about vibrating off of the side of the bed and like landing with like my shoulders and my back hitting the ground, one leg still hitched up on the bed, kind of drooling a little bit and in this like orgasmic bliss, just going, holy shit. Oh my gosh. How do I do that again?
And you had never experienced that before.
Not that.
Wait, what was she doing exactly? I think I need more details. Like what was she doing?
Was it
this full body orgasm. So what they were doing was actually stimulating the clitoris using their tongue, the glans clitoris, the part you see on the outside, and using their hands, their fingers, to stimulate the G-spot. And also, like, I was doing that, like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, like, shrink away from it kind of thing. like, this is really intense. And they're like, no, you're not going anywhere. And kind of got like shoved up against the wall. And I was like, oh my God, I'm literally like, this is so intense. I'm going to explode. And like so many different sensations were going on at the same time. And they were using that come hither motion, that sweeping motion over the top of my glands, over the top of the G-spot, while performing cunnilingus over the top of the glans clitoris. And my head might as well have like rolled off my body. And it was this full body orgasm where like I went into spasms and like was literally twitching for the longest time and kind of dopey. I felt high.
I've had that before.
I've definitely
had that before. Yeah.
It's what you call the blended orgasm.
Yeah. I think it's the tongue and hand.
A blended orgasm is kind of a misnomer because what we're really doing here, and Women's Health actually coined the term blended orgasm years ago when they described, oh, it's when you stimulate the glans clitoris and the G-spot. And it happens to be that the G-spot is made up of the same erogenous tissue as the clitoris. It's all a part of the same erogenous body. And you're just really what you're doing is you're going at it from one side and the other. You're stimulating the whole clitoris, and the clitoris is about the same size as half of your hand. I would rather call them dual orgasms or like just complex orgasms where you can stimulate the glans clitoris and the anterior fornix erogenous zone that sits at where your cervix meets the vaginal canal at the front edge. That can be a really intense orgasm. Not for everyone, but holy shit, it'll blow your mind.
I love this because I have had that, but I've never been able to put any of the vocabulary that you just put behind
that
it.
That is your anterior fornix erogenous zone.
Can we just rewind for a sec? I never even looked at my vagina till I was like 30. So can we just talk about the female anatomy? Yes. What are these zones? What is a clit? What's a G-spot? Can you just give us like a quick rundown?
I'm sure men and women are probably like, how do I do this to my partner?
Yes.
Right? Or myself.
Absolutely. Okay. We'll start on the outside and then go to the inside. The best way to start that arousal process is to stimulate clitoris and other parts of the body, not actually just going straight inside because that can actually cause some problems and discomfort. Mm. The exterior anatomy, the vulva, there's the external labia, and then inside that, the vaginal lips, is the labia minora. So you do see that little guy in the boat. That's where the little guy in the boat, he's wearing a little raincoat, and that's the labia minora. The vaginal lips come up and they connect at the very top and they create a hood over the glans clitoris. And then underneath is where you find the rest of the body of the clitoris. But then when you go inside the vaginal canal, some of the most well-known is the G-spot or the Grafenberg spot. It's about the size of a quarter or a walnut, and it actually feels kind of like a squishy walnut, but it feels a little bit more firm than the surrounding tissue. And when you're properly aroused, it can be extremely sensitive. When you push on that and you are aroused, what can happen is you start becoming more aroused and you're pushing into that G-spot. A lot of people have reported, oh, like, I feel like I have to pee, and then I stop. I'm like, I need to stop, and I run to the bathroom. And I'm like, no, you missed the best part.
That's the point of note. Yeah.
And they go, why? And I'm like, because you were on your way to having a squirting orgasm. And what's happening when you stimulate that particular area, the Skene's gland, it actually starts producing hormones, and it dumps these hormones, a pure substance, into the bladder, and it's not urine. There are trace amounts of urea because there's been urine in there, but it's trace amounts. It's not actually urine. When you stimulate it enough, you have a squirting orgasm, and you can start out with a completely empty bladder. It will fill up with this specific, with this ejaculate. It's female ejaculate. And you can have a squirting orgasm. And most people are so terrified because they get that urge to pee.
Yeah.
And they're so shamed by it. And there's more shame. I feel like I just wet the bed. No, you weren't going to wet the bed. You were going to have an amazing orgasm is what was going
to
happen.
Let's hold that thought for a second. We'll get right back to it. Confession. I have a secret about how I've been able to update my wardrobe with only high quality but affordable pieces these last few years. And now I have to let the secret out because they're sponsoring this episode. It's called Quince. Yeah, if you know, you know. Quince has premium European linen dresses, gorgeous washable silk tops, luxurious cashmere, and the best part? They're priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories. So no more middleman, and that's why it costs less to you. I know Julie got herself some nice cashmere pieces, and at only $50 a sweater, come on. And I recently ventured into home goods. I got myself some premium cotton percale sheets. Ultra cooling and just feels like a five-star hotel every night, and it's so perfect for the upcoming hot months. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/dateable for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/dateable to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/dateable.
By now, you've probably heard me raving about Osea. I'm obsessed with their Mega Moisture Duo, and I even caught my partner using it the other day because he smelled like seaweed. Now that's hot, right? You know who else would love Osea? Your mom, or your friends that are moms, or if you're a mom, because being a mom is hard work, and I think all moms deserve a spa day this Mother's Day. And what better way to make every day a spa day than with Osea's Mega Moisture Duo? And right now, you can even get an additional 10% off your first order with our code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. Treat moms to the everyday spa experience she deserves with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use the code DATEABLE for 10% off.
Want relationship advice from one of the leading experts in the field of couples therapy? Then Reimagining Love is for you. Hosted by one of our favorite guests on Dateable, Dr. Alexandra Solomon. She is a clinical psychologist, couples therapist, professor, and award-winning author. It is your destination for profound, enlightening discussions about love, family, intimacy, and everything in between. But more than that, she gives us the opportunity to reimagine ourselves, our relationships, and our world. So on the show, Dr. Alexandra gives in-depth research-backed takes on topics like dating, jealousy, communication, commitment, personal growth, and features notable guests from the worlds of therapy, academia, and pop culture, such as me and Julie from Dateable, among other people you may have heard of like Esther Perel, Susan Cain, and Emily Nagoski. Her podcast is incredible, definitely worth a listen. We loved being on it, and we love having Dr. Alexandra on our show. So you can find her podcast, Reimagining Love, wherever you get your podcasts.
So can anyone have a squirting orgasm?
Yeah. Everybody has a G-spot, and it's just, it's the only reason that people are like, oh, it's not for me. It's honestly, it's because we're so shamed around all of this. Because, you know, we try it once by somebody that told us how to do it, how they think is the right way. And guess what? Your body's not the same as theirs. Your body is not the same as Glamour or Cosmo or any other lifestyle magazine tells you it is. It's everybody's a little bit different. It takes some time. It takes some patience. And it takes some self-love. And everybody can get there. It's just everybody's going to get there at different times, at different stations, and different points in their life. And it takes... honestly, it just takes some like being really comfortable with your body and being really patient.
So I, for so long in my 20s, never experienced this. And then it was actually the situation you were talking about earlier, that intense orgasm was what kind of got me there. Like probably like 28. Yeah. And then like now, it doesn't happen all the time.
I was 28 too.
I know. Is there and that's like a question too. Was it just that I wasn't awoken till then, or just like didn't have experienced the right orgasms? Like, what was that turning point, or was it just letting go?
Combination. I think it's a combination of things. For me, I was definitely on kind of a sexual journey, and I was really trying to embrace my sexuality more. And I was experiencing that with different partners, with myself. I even dated some couples, mm-hmm, honestly. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it was really, and it had nothing to do with like particularly like how I identify at the time or my sexuality. It was just, I just wanted to know, what have I not tried and what am I missing? And a lot of things I found, I was like, yeah, I wasn't missing on much. But some things I found, I was like, wow, that just tickles my freaking pickle. I love that. But, you know, and it's going to be different for every single person. So I think like part of our message is go and just try it. And don't chastise yourself if it didn't work for you. Try something else. Keep going. It's the same thing with like kids trying sports or learning and trying to figure out what kind of a learner you are. so many other applications, but we treat sexuality with such a stigmatization. You know, we're like, oh, I tried the one thing and I just didn't like it, so I don't like anything. And, you know, some people don't like or have not worked up to the anterior fornix erogenous zone stimulation. It's super freaking intense.
Yeah.
And it's a little too much for some people. Mm. Personally, I love it.
Obviously. So I will admit, at the beginning, when it first happened, I was definitely like, oh my God, what is happening?
And
wet the bed, right? And
yeah.
I would say like probably the majority of men that it's happened with have loved it, okay?
Oh,
but
yeah.
Then there was one that I don't know if I was the first person he's ever experienced this with, but he literally, like when it happened.
Freaked out.
Yeah, and it's like one of those things you don't want to tell people it's going to happen, because then if it doesn't happen, because it doesn't happen with everyone, and that's awkward.
Mm-hmm.
So then it happened, and he immediately like went to like get like his went to take his sheets off and like put them in the dryer, the washer and dryer. And he was like so freaked out about it, and then I got so insulted by it, and then it just like totally ended any budding relationship there because of the stigma.
Like, kills me because, yes, it kills me because that's historically accurate to say that a lot of folks have viewed this particular fluid as being like sexual ambrosia. Like, I have read stories about partners that do this intentionally so that they can drink it.
Oh, what?
Not even kidding. Not even joking. I've done a lot of weird research.
Obviously.
I found it so interesting though, because I'm like, okay, sex is messy. Male orgasms are messy. Like, why is there like a double standard? But I will say this was definitely a novelty. 99% of men like freaking love it. So
I mean, it just goes back to how we build this narrative around female sexuality.
Yeah.
As a result of your orgasm, Laura, you went into research mode to see how you can replicate this entire orgasm process, and you found that there was just so much knowledge around male pleasure but not much about female pleasure. And I found the same thing. It's if a female experiences penetration, that's pleasure for her. But the vagina is so complicated. There's so many layers, but we don't talk about how we can stimulate the different layers of the vagina. We just think one sort of penetration, boom, you're in, and just hit that G-spot, right. And then you're good.
I can't even tell you, like, had a lot of males and females just ask, like, hey, can I give her a G-spot orgasm with my dick? And I'm like, actually, no. It's, like, almost impossible to stimulate the G-spot with a phallic object.
Interesting.
You actually have to press into the anterior wall of the vaginal canal in order to do that. Just because of the way that the Skene's gland is positioned, the way the G-spot is positioned, and the way that if you want that squirting orgasm, the way that the urethra is positioned. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you can have all sorts of other kinds of orgasms with penetrative sex. It's also part of the stigma around how we view males as, you know, they're supposed to, you know, they're supposed to come first, she comes second, and if she doesn't, oh well.
Yeah.
And, you know, she should be able to have an orgasm with a penis. And it's, you know what, that's not necessarily, you know, the truth.
Wait, I have a question. What you were saying earlier, because I've definitely experienced like squirting type orgasm with myself on top, but that's the only like male penetration version. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's something about that position that's different than others?
Yeah, I think it's literally an angle. I have not been able to have one doggy style, but I have been able to cowgirl, because I think it's literally just the angle if they're pushing in the right spot. It is also related to clitoral stimulation. So when you're actually on top of somebody, you're getting more clitoral stimulation than you would normally. There are some people that are much more sensitive in that area, and it's easier for them to get there. But generally, the rule, regular penetrative sex alone, it's very hard to get there unless you're doing some other things in order to have that kind of orgasm.
So maybe we got it all wrong. Maybe the foreplay should be penetrative sex. And then the actual entree is everything else.
Right.
But
go at it from all different directions, right?
I'm doing it all wrong. I feel like I can only come when I'm on top. I've never found a position where I can come another way. But I also feel like I probably haven't opened those doors yet.
What about oral? No.
Never. Mm. I've never been able to. And this is why your product, Osei, it really drew my attention, because it's moldable to your body. And this is something that just blew my mind, because for all the sex products we've ever looked at, and we've looked at quite a few, They're all right. just one shape yeah. and it's supposed to fit every body.
Right.
How does that right. work? So tell us a little bit about Osei and why yeah. it helps you achieve that blended orgasm.
The first thing before anything is finding the right fit. So you may know that we just had, we did our pre-sale and then we got product on the ground in late January, and we are dealing with a lot of customer service questions, like, how do I get this to fit me right? People that just want to break it out of the package and just put it in and expect it to solve all their orgasmic problems.
Nope.
And, you know, there is an educational piece to this. The point of this product isn't just to elicit a blended orgasm. Part of the point is to help people understand more about their own bodies. Mm. And in that, you know, you need to actually sit down and get to know yourself a little bit more. You need to learn, you know, what kind of fit is going to work for you. That's why this product is so special, because you can fit it to your own unique anatomy. I don't know what your unique anatomy is. You had to learn that on your own.
Yep.
The first thing that we ask people to do is actually to get warmed up and stimulate the outer clitoris on the outside, so that you can get literally get lubed up, you can get aroused, you get warm, the muscles loosen up a little bit, because if you try to go in there dry and tight, it's no fun. I mean, you wouldn't do that like
right.
in
no.
with a partner either. So why would you do that with a product? So we want people to get warmed up and then figure out, okay, where is my G-spot? And we actually walk people through that process. You actually use a finger, you put it inside, find where that G-spot is, and it's going to feel a little bit firmer than the surrounding tissue. It actually feels kind of like a squishy walnut to me, mm. and it's about the same size.
I feel like I need to go through this with my partner. Just find my
yeah.
G-spot.
Yeah, but it's harder to find unless you're aroused. Like, you can't just stick a finger in there and go, oh, there it is. No, you actually need to be aroused, because when you're aroused, it actually sends blood flow to that portion of the clitoris, and it actually enlarges and gets firm.
It becomes erect.
And it's easier to find then. Yes. Yeah, literally.
What's the name Osei? Like, what does that even mean?
It's all Italian. Osei actually means risque, and risque actually means daring. We're daring people to try it, basically. Daring people to explore their bodies. And our next two products are Onda and Bacci. Onda means rolling wave, which is that come hither motion, and Bacci means kiss, basically a cunnilingus kiss. Mm-hmm. But my family is Sicilian, so that's where De Carlo comes from as well.
It's so, yeah, I mean, this whole like, vibrating motion, like, that isn't in sex at all. So
no.
I love that, like, this no. is, like, this is actually what happens in sex, so we're going to make products that mimic that.
Yeah,
because
yes. people yeah. used to say if you go down on a girl, you should start humming to mimic
right.
the vibration.
Like a hummer.
Yeah. Right? Like, yeah. Doesn't ever actually yeah. do anything, but yeah.
Yeah, I've done that before, and I'm just like, this feels really awkward. Let me turn to music
around. Wait, so can you like visualize this? Because I'm having trouble visualizing it, because I think like
yeah.
you've seen it before, UA, but it's like, I think of sex toys, and it's like the magic wand, the rabbit, like they're very like one size fits all. Can you kind of
yeah
give some color to what it looks like and how it molds to your body
and why
okay.
it's not a vibrator?
It's not a vibrator.
Yeah.
Very important
yeah.
to talk about that.
Is the internal portion actually goes inside the vaginal canal, and it's phallic in shape, but it doesn't vibrate. It actually delivers a sweeping motion, like a come hither motion, that presses into the G-spot in a rhythmic sweeping motion. You can dial the frequency, the speed of that sweeping motion way up or way down, depending on your preference. You can also actually pinpoint the stimulation of that sweeping motion into a much smaller, like kind of a wiggle at the top, at the middle, and at the bottom of that whole range where it sweeps. Do the whole sweeping motion depending on your preference. And that's kind of like a little bit more of a advanced level when you start getting used to the product. Really, we just want people to find their G-spot.
I'm looking at pictures of it. I'm showing Julie as well. I describe it almost like a desk lamp with a flexible neck.
That's not the first time I've heard that. It looks like a very artistic desk lamp. I actually had somebody send me a picture, and they're like, hey, this kind of reminds me of your product. And it was literally artsy looking desk lamp.
Well, it's got a flexible neck, and the phallic yeah. part is where the light bulb would go.
That's
and the bottom
hilarious.
Part yeah. is where
it does look like a light.
Right? And the clitoral stimulation is on the bottom part.
Yeah.
Got it. Can we back up for 1 second? So you have yeah. this amazing orgasm.
Yeah.
You're like, I need to put this out into the world. Like, were you
yeah.
creating vibrators before? Or is this the first product you ever had?
Was I making vibrators?
Yeah, like, was this the first, like, sex toy party? Okay. So then I guess the question I have for you is, like, what made you be like, okay, I don't want to do another vibrator. This needs to be different. Like, what got you to, like, this 2.0 level of sex toys?
Oh, I did that. I mean, and that's actually what drove me ultimately to create the company. I was looking for a product that would deliver this kind of orgasm because I, you know, rewind when I'm talking about having that orgasm and I'm kind of with a partner that I'm like, well, you're good for one thing. And I'm laying like, on the floor just going, holy shit, how do I do that again? And I look at this person, I'm like, how do I do it again by myself? Mm-hmm. And so I started looking into, one, I did the research on, like, what's actually happening physiologically, because guess what? I was going to med school and they weren't teaching that. So I had to really do a lot of digging on my own. So I discovered, okay, this is, you need to stimulate the clitoris that on externally. This is, you know, women's health calls this a blended orgasm. This is actually a thing. I'm not out of my mind. Okay, so where's this product? So I started, I was shopping for it because I'm like, okay, I want to find this product. I spent like probably $2,000 and I was, you know, I'm a starving student and I was just like, well, maybe this will do it. And it was like, oh, it'll fit your body and it'll stimulate on the inside and the outside. And I was like, it's a $400 vibrator, literally just doesn't fit me. And so I was like, that's ridiculous. You know, I need something that fits me, but what about other people? I mean, apparently they think it fits someone. So I kept looking and I realized there's no product that does this. And I don't want it to be a vibrator. I want something that feels like a human partner. What, like, I come from a family of engineers. Like, why hasn't somebody invented this yet? I started looking at what is it that needs to happen? What is the most rudimentary information that I needed in order to create a product that served these needs? And I realized I need to know where the clitoris falls in relation to the vaginal canal. Where does the G-spot fall in relation to the vaginal canal? And what does the pelvic angle look like? So I started looking for that in medical journals, and it didn't exist. It didn't exist anywhere, actually. Nobody was asking these questions. And so I actually started just asking people that question. And I realized three things when I would ask people, can you tell me where your clitoris and your G-spot are? They would first look at me like I was insane, and then they would get really embarrassed and ashamed. And then they would go, why do you want to know? This is really interesting. And then they would get really curious, and they'd want to talk about it because nobody's talking about it enough. And it was like, you know, handing a glass of water to somebody that's been in the desert their whole lives. And the second thing I realized is that I had to teach almost everybody how to find these spots. Nobody knew nearly enough about their own physiology. And the third thing was that everybody wanted to know why. Why are you asking me this? And when I it's because I had this orgasm and I want to recreate the experience with the product, possibly. They would just like freak out and go, oh my God, where is it? When can I get it? Can I buy it? I was like, I'm a nurse. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. Do you want to help though? So I started seeing a trend in the data. I started seeing, you know, a range. And I realized, okay, if I have a range of data, that means I can make a product that can actually fit most people. I wanted something that could be totally hands-free. And in order to do that, I needed a good fit. And the third thing was that I wanted something that felt like a human partner. And for that, I needed micro robotics and biomimicry. So I needed a damn good engineer.
So it's your dad? I'm just kidding.
I was asking my dad all these like crazy questions. I was like, Dad, do you know of a Whitworth, if I could like construct a Whitworth to actually make this motion? And he's like,
why?
What are you doing? And he's a brilliant man. He's kind of my polar opposite. As far as like view the world goes, he's conservative and he's religious. So I was like, well, I want to make a sex toy.
It's like,
really?
That's my daughter.
And yeah, he's like, that's really interesting. So he's pretty supportive, but he actually didn't have the knowledge and expertise that was needed in order to do this. But he did kind of help me get set in the right direction. But ultimately what I ended up doing was going to Oregon State University and sitting down with Dr. John Parmigiani, who happens to be the head of the Miami lab and became our chief investigator. And I sat down and the first thing that fell out of my mouth, being me, was, hey, so I had this orgasm when I was 28 and I want to make a product that recreates the experience.
Okay, thanks.
He's like, who are you again?
He turned white. Oh my God. He blushed red. And But I have this, and I gave him this sheet that had functional engineering requirements, specifications, 52 specifications in order to engineer the product, and customer expectations and user expectations. And he got really excited and was like, this is engineering. We could do this. Nobody ever brings me a spec sheet like this. And so we actually formed a industry-funded research program. That's when we ended up with a prototype that we took to CES and applied for that award.
I'm thinking about all the ways we talk about sex and the language we put around it. And I think about how, like, men, when they have penetrative sex, the vagina forms to their penis.
Yeah.
It's literally customized for them by nature. And then for women, we always hear about, oh, his dick wasn't the right fit. Or that was a perfect dick for me. That was perfect fit. But we never talk about sex products that way. So this is all coming from Julie and I had this conversation years ago about sex products. And she was like, you have to try the magic wand, which is this ginormous neck massager that she claims was like the holy grail.
Every person with a vagina, it's their favorite.
Yeah, it's their favorite.
It's just like your go-to.
And I bought it and I could not get off on it. It just didn't absolutely nothing for me. It made me feel a little bit embarrassed and I was so curious why this didn't work for me. Was there something wrong with me? But it also opened up my eyes to know that my body is completely different than even if 90% of women can get off on the magic wand, it doesn't mean that I have to be exactly like them because there are bodies mine.
Exactly. And that's the problem that we have with most sex tech product is that people with vaginas have this notion that if it didn't work for me, then I must be broken.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And my message is you're not broken. You just haven't found the right way yet.
Yeah.
And Osei, honestly, Osei is not for everyone. It's not going to work for everyone, but it does work for a very large amount of people. But that's also why we're creating other products. That's why we're continuing to gather information and asking people to be patient with us as well and give us as much feedback as they can. Because I've got several teams working on new innovations, and the most valuable thing in order to continue to create products for different pleasure profiles, not if you have a penis or a vagina, if you're a man or a woman, but for different pleasure profiles, is going to be feedback and information. Yeah. And that data. Just really hate that, because I don't want anybody to feel like there's something wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with anyone.
You know which one did nothing for me was the rabbit.
The rabbit. Okay, so I was going to bring this up.
No. That's not you're broken. That's that damn, that whole concept is broken.
I just love that it's called the rabbit too.
The little ears. It's so creepy.
Who made that?
Sex in the City, though, was hilarious.
Was the one that made it popular. So before this conversation, Julie pulled up the history of vibrators. And I think this is so fascinating to just bring up because, first of all, it was created by a man. Joseph Mortimer Granville in 1800s. He invented this electric vibrator in 1883. Okay.
Yep.
And at the time, it was a treatment for hysteria. And so
the reason why is because doctors were using their hands to give women orgasms in order to treat and combat female hysteria, and their hands were getting tired. So they made something that could plug into the wall.
Oh my God.
Like a freaking blender. So, I mean, you can have an orgasm and you can make a milkshake and then you can toast your toast and vacuum the floor. And
oh my God.
Goes along with the rest of the household appliances. Yeah. But what we've done, though, is all we've done for the last 140 years is just remake the same thing over and over again.
Right. So it's just exactly, we're just doing the same iterations of the exact same thing. We're just putting a new brand, new marketing, new packaging to it. And then in
different
the
shade of pink.
Right. And call of a rabbit. And the next time it's a sloth. But
also, that one's not going to market well, the sloth.
But then in the 1970s was when we actually acknowledged that women masturbate and that it was a form of liberation. And that's when the magic wand was invented.
Which is kind of crazy that that's still the go-to sex toy for women.
70s.
It was in the 70s.
And the 90s was when Sex and the City made the rabbit vibrator very popular, when Charlotte was addicted to it.
Oh my God. That was such a great episode, though.
Yeah.
And now finally, like starting in 2018, it's become kind of a commercialized product you can find at CVS and Target. But it's just crazy that it was started in the 1800s to treat mysterious. Somehow we found a way to make it into masturbation and female sexuality. But it took so many years to accept the fact that female pleasure should be something that we should focus
on. Laura, I don't know if you know this, but when I was doing this research, as of 2018, it said that it was still illegal to buy sex toys in Alabama.
What?
Yep, it is.
Which is so crazy that, like, in 2020, like, there's still stigma around sex toys.
Alabama's not alone.
There's others.
I just looked up, in what countries are sex toys illegal? Well, Thailand, Vietnam, Malaysia, India, Maldives. But Alabama seems to be the only state in the U.S. Okay. I would love to take this into Alabama and just, like... parade it around and see what happens. Like at a
bar. Wave it all over the place.
Look what I have.
I'm pretty sure there are others. I know, like, we had to go through all of this.
But you're selling a robot, though. It's not a sex toy.
Oh, yeah. Right? It's for sexual
health. That's a good loophole. You're like, do you ban robots from Alabama?
This is a product for sexual health.
It's a companion robot.
And it is a robot. So just for starters, most of these vibrators have about 20 to 50 parts inside each of them. I know, because I've taken apart a lot of them because I am just forever morbidly curious and I like taking shit apart. But Osei has more parts than there are bones in the human body. There are almost 250 parts in this product. And it's extremely complex. And it's not just like the product, like the mechanics of it, but it's the firmware as well. This is no toy. It's a tool. It's a tool for self-discovery and it's a tool for pleasure and it's a tool for wellness.
That's so interesting. Because I think you made a comment earlier, like, this is not a vibrator. I know you've said that loud and clear. Like, where do you see the future of sex toys going? Or tools, I guess. It's even a better way to say it.
Sex tech.
I love it.
The thing to pay attention to that's important is who is making sex tech. That's an important piece because we've seen notoriously in the last 50 years or so, as it's become more and more widely commercialized, men are making them. Men that don't know much about female bodies. And then in the last 5 to 10 years, we've had this surge of people with vaginas deciding, hey, guess what? I have a vagina. I think it makes more sense for me to make a product that people use with their vaginas. And they're doing it in really eloquent and innovative ways. We've got products that just have great brands. We have products like
Crave.
Crave
is the vibrator you can wear as a necklace.
I've seen that.
The founder's name is T. Chang, and she's a total badass. Also, I just adore her. She's the cutest thing in the whole world. She makes these really rockin' vibrating necklaces that are gorgeous. They're really beautiful and just very innovative, beautiful branding, very high quality. And, you know, other folks are doing data gathering. They want to understand more about the physiology. Liz Klinger at Lioness makes a vibrator. Technically, it's a rabbit vibrator, but it doesn't have the ears. Thank God.
Thank God, yeah.
But it has sensors for you to understand what your orgasm looks like. Whoa. What's the pressure? What is, what's going on with that? And it actually will actually create a graph and let you see what your orgasm looks like.
Amazing.
And then we've got folks, like people at Dane. I don't know if you're familiar with them. They're making really beautiful, thoughtful, inclusive, innovative products. And keep in mind too, like, none of these products work for everyone.
Right.
But a lot of them will work for many people. So it's just a matter of figuring out, what works best for you. What is your pleasure profile? What, what are you after? What kind of sensations are you after? What information are you after? And finding the right company. Part of what makes, I think, Laura DiCarlo very special is the fact that we're so gung-ho about our mission. Like, our whole mission is about allowing people to feel more comfortable in their own skin, because we know that when people feel more comfortable in their own bodies and in their identities, we go out and we do great things. I know that when I feel more comfortable in my own skin, or when I have a really liberating orgasm, I'm happy.
And I love how your tagline is own your pleasure. And I love that when you had this mind-blowing orgasm, you weren't dependent on this partner to give it to you again. You took matters into your own hands and said, how can I recreate this on my own? And that's what owning your pleasure means. And that comes with the sex education, because you have to know what is pleasurable first in order to achieve that.
Exactly.
Well, that's a good segue to takeaways. So when you were kind of going through like all the anatomy of a woman, it's like, how do I not know this?
Yeah,
I don't.
No idea.
Yeah. And even what you're saying, some of it is glossing over just because it's hard to visualize. And I think if you can't please yourself, how can you expect others to please you? And then also from the reverse too is like, I wish I knew more about the male anatomy. Yeah. Or if you're a woman pleasuring another woman, like, or a man pleasuring a woman, like, how do you better understand what's happening for you and your partner, whoever that might be? So you can kind of continue that exploration in an educated way that continues to give you new orgasms and new benefits and all that.
Yeah, Julie, you nailed it, because that's what we're asking people to do, is the more you know about your own body, because a lot of people have asked like, oh, are you just trying to replace men? No, we're not trying to replace anyone. What we're trying to do is help people understand more about their own bodies. Because when you understand more about yourself and where your pleasure points are and how you like to be stimulated, that creates confidence. That allows somebody to turn around and tell their partner, oh my gosh, this is what I like. It would be really amazing if you could do that. That creates closer bonds. Mm-hmm. That actually creates better communication than the other. So I've been asked that many times, because a lot of people are concerned with how tech affects relationships and affects individuality. We're going to write that narrative on our own.
Right.
We're responsible for that.
Right. And I think like squirting is a good example. If you're there, when then it happens with a partner, you're not as embarrassed, right? So it's like you can explore how your body works and operates without that shame.
Yeah, we should just not make it so taboo. This is why we have the culture we have today, where sex is so like, oh, behind closed doors, and we can't talk about this and talk about that. And then when we do openly talk about it, we're like, I actually have no idea what to say other than I got laid last night.
Right.
So I think some of my takeaways are that when it comes to personal sex education, I've always been like, okay, if this works, this is the only thing that works for me and nothing else works. And but I realized, or just with everything we do on this podcast too, there's so many doors we haven't opened, especially when it comes to pleasure. So this is such a great opportunity for us to just keep exploring. And you said this, Laura, keep being curious and open up that curiosity about your own pleasure, about your own sexuality and how you can achieve it. Because just because it worked for you this time in this one position doesn't mean there's like 6,000 other ways you can achieve equally or better orgasms. So that comes with the sex education. And we should talk about these openly. Like when we're out in public, it's okay to talk about this amazing orgasm you had the other night. That's fantastic. That's equally as good as the best sushi you had in your life 2 days ago. So we need to create more language around sex so we bring it into everyday life.
Right. And we had our season opener. We had Dr. Alexandra Solomon, who wrote a book called Taking Sexy Back. She's a therapist. And
I've heard of it.
You would love her.
Yeah, you would love her. Great book. But we talked about this on her episode. So too, if you figure out ways to pleasure yourself, you're not as like thirsty for the next person that comes around. And I think that's to like your point earlier. It's like, oh, I like that this woman gave me an orgasm, but I'm not so crazy about her.
Right.
You can still get the end result without necessarily like losing self-respect.
You don't have to depend on a partner.
Right. Or
to
someone
give you.
That you're not even excited about. You keep the door open.
Right. It's empowering. It just, I mean, it makes you feel more comfortable with your own body.
Right.
We invite people to ask themselves, like, who owns your pleasure? And what's the cost of having somebody else control your pleasure? What kind of power does that give you? And what can you do when you have that power, you own that power, you can go out into the world and you really can do great things, because it's so much more than just sex.
As a last thought, let's say you are last two people on earth. There is no OSA around and absolutely no objects to penetrate, and there's just no penetrative sex happening. What are some ways that this partner can play around with the vagina to give her the ultimate pleasure? What are some ways to just even explore that?
With your hands and, or like without
anything,
with only what's attached to your body.
Well, I heard this story about somebody using their foot for I'm kidding. I know there's that's a thing.
I'm sure that's a thing.
My go-to is definitely, there's a lot of play that goes around. Like, I think people kind of downplay, like, nipple play can actually be really amazing. And there are so many erogenous zones on the body, like your ears, like your neck, like the nape of the neck. Paying attention to the really sensitive parts of the body, the inside of the elbow, fingers on the back, there are so many erogenous zones that aren't just all up in your vagina. I know a lot of people are very like weird and scared of anal play, but honestly, that thing is packed with some serious nerves. Yeah. Like it would behoove you to like just kind of check it out. It doesn't mean you have to do anal, but know your body, understand what you like. And so many people are so stigmatized about touching themselves in certain places that, you know, they just don't do it and they miss out. I definitely encourage trying stimulation of the G-spot. You can get that combined blended orgasm and squirting orgasm just using your hands and your tongue on the glans clitoris and the internal G-spot. I think we neglect a lot of other body parts too. It's not just about penetrative sex. It's about the whole experience. Take your time with it and enjoy it. As far as I'm concerned, like, sexual health and wellness is the next freaking mindfulness and yoga.
Love it.
You look at yoga was like stigmatized 20 years ago. Like people were like, oh, who are these hippies? And I walked into a class and I was like, do I take my socks off? What do I do with my shoes? Right, it's kind of weird. Why is everybody on the ground? and now it's a huge market.
Yep.
And I think that's kind of the direction that we're headed in. So get used to it.
Mm. I love it. I think it's a good takeaway too, is like, just explore more. You've kind of said it, like, stay curious, like all the things. It's just, you've listed like 20 different areas that you could be exploring. And maybe some of them you like, maybe some of them you don't, but you just don't know until you try.
I predict that the next big app will be like Headspace, but be guided meditation for guided masturbation.
That's a great idea.
Right?
Well, I think what you mentioned about like understanding your orgasm, like data, like that. I mean, who, you don't know. There's no words to put any of this
in. Oh, we're definitely positioning ourselves to be that.
Love it.
Let's go in.
Just everything sexual health and wellness. So it's not just product oriented. We're working on a lot of connectivity and exploring. Like I said, I want to know what people want. I want to know what the biggest problems are and how we can solve them. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's in a physical product. Mm. It might be in guided masturbation. So I guess we'll have to find out.
That's amazing.
So Laura, with your first product, Osei, you've already started shipping and people can still order that online.
Mm.
Yes. But additionally, we will have two other products also coming out after that.
Oh.
Which do things completely differently. We're starting to kind of grow that Osei family line, utilizing biomimicry and emulating human motion and just asking people, like, what kind of motions do you like? What kind of sensations do you like? And that's what the next four products are going to be doing.
Where can people get the products?
Right now, just on our website at lauradicarlo.com. And it's spelled funny. It's LORADICARLO.com. And we are we're going to be doing our retail launch here shortly. And we do ship overseas to select places. And we're looking to be wholly international by the end of this year into 2021.
Awesome. Just not to Thailand, Vietnam, Malaysia, India.
Or Alabama.
I mean,
but it's a robot.
Yeah, it's not a vibrator, technically.
Well, Laura, you are absolutely daring and courageous. And thank you for changing the conversation and the language around sex. I think you're paving the way for us. And I can't wait to have more conversations about sex with anybody I encounter. Maybe the barista will have to hear about my sex life tomorrow.
Tell them about that crazy orgasm you had last night.
Yeah, I'm like, hey.
Ask where the G-spot included.
Thanks for my coffee, and want to know something else?
By the way, do you know what I did this morning?
Yeah. Let me show you.
Myself.
And they're like, how are you? God. Bring it to a whole another level.
Fantastic. Thanks, Laura, for taking time out to chat with us, and really appreciate all the efforts you're doing.
Yeah.
Thank you, UA. Thank you, Julie.
And we're going to wrap this up.
Stay dateable.
The Dateable Podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
Want to continue the conversation? First, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle @DateablePodcast. Tag us in any post with the hashtag #StayDateable, and trust us, we look at all of those posts. Then head over to our website, datablepodcast.com. There you'll find all the episodes as well as articles, videos, and our coaching service with vetted industry experts. You can also find our premium Why series where we dissect, analyze, and offer solutions to some of the most common dating conundrums. We're also downloadable for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Overcast, Stitcher Radio, and other podcast platforms. Your feedback is valuable to us, so don't forget to leave us a review. And most importantly, remember to stay dateable.